we're going to carry on with our one anothering. You know, God has told us that how we should treat one another, by loving one another, forgiving one another, teaching and admonishing one another, serving one another. And we're going to look this morning at One Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. And it says this. It says, therefore, encourage one another, strengthen one another, just as you have already been doing. So we're going to be looking at, any guesses? Oh, come on, wake up this morning. What are we going to be looking at this morning? Oh, thank goodness for that. We're going to be looking at encouraging one another. Going back a few weeks, Liz actually sent something on the leaders, our leaders WhatsApp thing. And she said this. She said, sometimes you have to step out to allow God to step in. Back in June, I was challenged to think big about TLG. Not to play it safe, but to step out and see what would happen. And then she said this, thank you for that person for pushing me and encouraging me. And from that, we had a pizza party last Friday week, which was a great success because someone had encouraged Liz. You know, we all, without exception, we all need encouragement. We all love it when we're encouraged. We feel so much better when someone encourages us and builds us up. You know, our children, you know, how much do they benefit from one word of encouragement instead of sort of, you know, unhelpful criticism? You know, encouragement is so important to each one of us. We all need encouragement. And in Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, it says this, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up. But what does encouragement mean? What does encouragement mean? Now, I'm quite a simple person. I don't like overcomplicating things. Thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah, quite a simple person. But it is important that we know what this word means because there's good and there's bad encouragement. There's good and there's bad encouragement. And if you want to go back to the Greek and everything else, you know, the basic meaning of this word, it means to build up, to strengthen, or to edify. And edify, I like this word because from the word edify, we get a word edifice. Now, if you don't know what an edifice is, if you look at the Shard in London, which is a most peculiar but amazing tall skyscraper in London, it sort of stands out amongst all everything else on the skyline of London. And an edifice is, you know, a really prominent building, a really prominent structure that stands out. So in edifying someone, you're building up them up to be something that stands out. So when we're told to encourage one another, it is, you know, building one another up, strengthening one another. You know, encouraging us and building, you know, it is a building term. So you're building someone up into someone that stands out for the right reasons. And when we're talking about the churches, it's building the church up, building each other up. So we are a prominent building that stands out. We are, if you like, a monster of a church in the right way that stands out. We're not just sort of something sort of hiding away in the shadows, but we are something that stands out. So we're to build one another up, to help and to strengthen one another. And in Romans 14, verse 19, it says this, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to edify and to build one another up. Let us make every effort to strengthen and build one another up. Not when we've got 5 minutes, not when, oh, that's not a bad idea, I'll do that now, you know. Not when it's easy, when you see something. You know, oh yeah, you know, they're really doing a good job. But it says to make every effort. Paul says it's really important that we encourage one another, that we make every effort. And those two words, every effort, they're quite strong. So it's something that is really important that we do, that we make every effort to encourage one another. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, and Paul here is talking about the church as the body of Christ. And it says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, that's each one of us, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, and here it goes, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is a beautiful picture of us as a church. You know, the body of Christ. We are, in every respect, you know, of the body of Christ, his hands, his arms, his legs, his voice, his heart. If people outside want to see Christ, they've got to look at us. And so we are this body of Christ. And it says we should build each other up in love. We should build each other up. We should strengthen each other. We should edify one another. You know, it's so easy to tear something down. So easy to tear one another down. You know, look at social media. Look at the television. You're nothing if you haven't got this perfume on. You're nothing if you're not eating this. You know, we're all told we're nothing unless we're doing what different people tell us, that we amount to very little. You know, nearly every advert is tearing someone down. And you know, there are lots of people, you know, who their life is just a shamble. It's just a load of rubble. Because people have come down in this, you know, what is meant to be a wonderful temple of God. They've battered it and they've bashed it and it's just a pile of bricks on the ground. And God calls us as a church to build them up, to strengthen them, to take these, you know, just what is left. You know, and you know, we all know people like that whose lives are just in ruins. And God says, encourage, build up this community that we serve. How many lives out there are just like that? They're just left with nothing. And God says, encourage, build up, strengthen, rebuild these lives. This is what we're as a church are called to do. So encouragement. I've already touched on it, but, you know, two questions. Why should we encourage? And how should we encourage? Why should we encourage one another? Because, you know, encouragement does, you know, if we can't encourage one another, we don't stand a chance of encouraging people outside. So why should we encourage one another? And how should we encourage? 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 starts off with this. Therefore. Now, I was always taught by a great man of God that when you see a therefore, you see what it's there for. You look at what the verses are before. Why is it there? What's it talking about? So as we look at, and I'm not going to go into great detail because we're going to be looking at Thessalonians later on in the year, but chapter 5, what is it talking about? It's talking about the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the church saying, you know, Christ is going to come, Jesus is going to return like a thief in the night where you don't expect it. But just one little thing here, that was written 2,000 years ago. So how much closer is it now than when Paul wrote it? You know, Christ could return next year, next month, now. And he's saying that as a church, you know, we've got to be ready for this. Paul is writing to the church and saying that, you know, the church, you are children of the light. You should be living in light of this, knowing the truths of the great news of Jesus Christ, the liberating news of the gospel of Christ. That we should be, you know, other people who are not children of God are living under the lies of Satan, are living in the darkness of his kingdom, of living to his laws and his, you know, and all the stuff that he stands for. You are children of the light. You know, you are children of God. And, you know, you should be living as that, sharing out, shining out your life and living like that. But he says, You will have hard times. You will have difficult times. You know, we will fail. We will, you know, we will fall down. We will, like we've heard this morning, be persecuted, have our livelihoods taken away. That is why we need to encourage one another. So when we're feeling down, there is someone who's going to put an arm around us or help us and encourage us. Someone who's going to be there for us. Because, you know, we all go through difficult times, whether it's persecution, whether it's illness, whether it's problems in the family, lots of different things. We need to encourage one another so that we will be that church that God has called us to be. So we will be able to encourage and build up other people who are struggling. We need to be that church. You know, that we will be that edifice, that building that stands out, that temple of God that's standing out there. That, you know, they said that monster of a church, and in the right way. We shouldn't be this sort of shrinking little violet. We should be something that people take note of. So please encourage me. I need encouragement. You know, when I'm feeling low, you know, whether it's with an arm around me, say, oh, come on, Martin. Or as a kick up the, you know, in love, of course. But we all need this encouragement. We all need this help to encourage one another. So that's, you know, very quickly touched on the subject of why we should encourage. But I think most of us understand from our own lives when we've needed it, when it's come. And, oh, you know, what a blessing it is. You know, when people encourage us. So how should we encourage? Truth. Truth is a basic foundation, one of the basic foundations of encouragement. That we are truthful with one another. You know, there are so many talent shows on the telly at the moment. I don't know why, but there are loads of these talent shows. And, you know, I sit there watching them sometimes, not very often. I'm made to watch them by my wife. And not, you know, sat there, and you're watching them, and this person comes on. Oh, yeah, I've got a lovely voice. My mum tells me, my dad tells me, my friends tell me, I've got a lovely voice. And this person starts to sing, and it makes me look like Pavarotti. You know, they are abysmal. These people haven't been encouraged. They've been taken higher up a cliff, ready for a massive fall. That is not encouragement. That's just lies. Real encouragement is based on truth. You know, we've got to be truthful with people as we encourage them. Now, where are we going? You know, I thank people for those who've had the honesty and the guts sometimes to be, you know, to tell me what I'm like. You know, because we all need it. We need to know what we're good at and what we're not. You know, I went to a youth conference once, so you can tell it's quite a long time ago, and the minister there, it was a group of us youth leaders, and the minister there was a guy called Warwick Shenton, who was the chief executive of Assemblies of God at the time. And he was speaking, and he took me as an example. I don't know why, but he did. And, you know, he said, well, here's Martin Enver, and he said some wonderful things about me. You know, he found quite a few, which is good. And then he said, but Martin needs someone to help him to organise, because he said, his organisation skills aren't the best. That hasn't changed. But that was real encouragement, because he was honest with me, he built me up, but also he said, you know, you need this as well. And that stood with me, and that, you know, that is real encouragement. You know, one church I was with, there was this older gentleman, we'll leave it at that, and, you know, he'd come into church, he'd sit down, and then the sermon would start within a minute, 2 minutes, you look over, and he was really enjoying the sermon. He was sound asleep all the way through. At the end of every service, hello, Pastor. Oh, that was a lovely sermon. So inspiring. That was encouragement. That wasn't encouragement, was it? Because he ain't got a clue what he was talking about. Imagine if he'd been speaking about something heretical, you know, it wasn't the truth. And the pastor was told, that's wonderful. You know, it was just ticking a box. You know, to encourage one another, we do need to be honest with one another. You know, Jesus said that the truth sets you free. And the truth does, because when we encourage one another truthfully, it liberates us in the things we're good at. Because I've been encouraged to do what you do good, Martin. You know, that's what you do. You know, be encouraged in those things and get help in the others. And it works. It's great. Because I know I need people around me who will organize and do things, and I come up with some silly idea. But it works. Can you imagine if this minister had said, oh, it's this guy Martin, oh, he's amazing, you know, and his organizational skills are fantastic. You know, I would come to a project and have an amazing idea of a project, be doing it, but every time it would fall down because I couldn't organize it, because it just didn't happen. How frustrating for me. How frustrating for the church and everybody else involved. That wasn't the truth. Imagine even worse if this guy said, and Martin's got an amazing voice and great at worship. Oh, dearie me. But we need to be honest with one another. We need to tell the truth to encourage one another. And when it's done in this way, you know, that we're doing it because we love these people, we want to encourage them. You know, it's great because, you know, I just feel so encouraged to be who God has called me to be. You know, in this church, I find so much encouragement and I feel free to be who God's called me to be. I'm not worried. And, you know, when we look at the life of Jesus, he was a great encourager. When you look at Jesus with Peter, Jesus had been crucified, you know, brutally crucified and murdered on that cross. Peter disowned Jesus. Peter three times said, I don't know this guy. Jesus could have spent hours, days, weeks criticizing him, pulling Peter down. You know, Peter, you're always putting your foot in it. Peter, you're useless. You know, you always come up with these silly ideas. Peter, you know, you got such a big gob on you, you know. Can't you just keep it quiet a bit? But Jesus didn't. Jesus built Peter up. Jesus strengthened Peter into the rock that he became. He didn't build on it. He didn't destroy his character. He built on it. And on that day of Pentecost, on Pentecost Sunday, we see Peter preaching his heart out to those people. This is the person that Jesus had built on and built into. And as a church, we need to be a church that builds up, encourages, not tears down, but builds people up into what God has called them to be. On Thursday, we had our prayer meeting, and I'm pretty sure it was Brian mentioned the feeding of the 5,000. You know, what an amazing story of encouragement that is. On this day, Jesus had been given the news that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded. And Jesus just wanted to spend a day on his own. He was upset. He was, you know, because his cousin was dead. He'd been murdered. So Jesus went off on his own, but all the crowds followed him. All the crowds, you know, we want to see Jesus. They went with him. And Jesus had compassion on this crowd. And he taught them. And he healed them. And, you know, right into the sort of the late afternoon, early evening. And then they suddenly realized that, oh, they're hungry. They haven't eaten all day. They've been with Jesus. Now they're off on a sort of a whim. They follow Jesus. No one brought any food with them. What are they going to do? 5,000 people. How are we going to feed 5,000 people? You know, they all came up with their ideas. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money. Are we going to raise that amount of money? You know, loads of things going on. And one disciple, I don't know, if I'm honest, I don't know why he brought this little boy up. Whether it's because he thought, oh, this is a bit funny, let's see what Jesus does with him. We don't know, but this disciple brought this little boy to Jesus. Okay, it's the end of the day. So he had 5 stale loaves of bread and two stinking fish. And he said, oh, Jesus, we've got this. Now, come on. This has been a long day for Jesus. He's still processing the fact that his cousin's been beheaded and everything else. You know, what could his reaction been? What on earth are you doing? I've had a really odd day. Don't be so stupid. Just get lost. Don't be so silly. What a stupid idea. This is 5,000 people. We've got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Go away. He could have patted the little boy on the head. Oh, nice little boy. Thank you so much, but no thanks. No, Jesus went with this little boy. Went with what this boy had brought to Jesus. He wasn't condescending. He wasn't a little pat on the head. He didn't bring him down. He lifted this boy up. He encouraged, he built him up. And he fed 5,000 people with what this little boy brought to him. Can you imagine that boy when he goes home? Guess what happened today, Mum? He was buzzing. He was built up so massive, because of how Jesus had encouraged him. These two stories are amazing stories of how we should encourage one another. How we should help one another. How we should build each other up to strengthen one another. To edify one another. So that we become, this imposing characters. As I say, in the right way. Not in a rude way. But characters that people take note of because of the God that's living in us. We should encourage one another. But not just with truth, but with love. Now, I was going to skip over this bit. Not rude, but Martin dealt with this 3-4 weeks ago. We don't need to go over this again, do we? Oh, yes, we do. Because it is so, this is so important that we get this idea of loving one another. Because if we don't encourage one another with love, in love, it's just platitudes. It's just, oh, yeah, you're really good, If there's no love behind it, what does it amount to? If we haven't got love for that person whose life is just a mass of rubble, what help are we to them? We've got to have this love for one another. Love for God and God's plans. Love for God and for his glory. Love for this church. Love for the people round about us. Love for those people who aren't where we are. Who don't know what it is to have a Heavenly Father that we can go to night or day with our problems. Who don't know what it is to have friends like I've got at this church who encourage us and love us. We've got to have love for these people. We've got to have love for God. And with that basis of love and truth, in Ephesians it said with love and truth, we encourage one another. When David was anointed as king in the Old Testament, everybody else saw David either as, he's just a stupid little shepherd boy. He's a run to the litter. Nobody liked him. If you read the Bible, even his father and mother disowned him. What good is he to anybody? But God, through his eyes of love, he saw through everything else. And he saw David's heart. That this was a man after God's own heart. This was someone that God could use. These eyes of love that God looked at David. We need these eyes of love when we're looking at different people, when we're looking at different situations. To see beyond what the world says about people. To say, look beyond what other people say about everybody. But to look, God, what do you see? What potential do you see in these people? When we see these people's lives are ruined. To look beyond that and see the temple of God that God wants us to build in. To see the potential that are in those people's lives. We need to see that love. We need to see through those eyes of love.
And love should lead us to make every effort to encourage people when we can. That we make every effort to encourage people and build each other up. Because we are all the body of Christ. We are all part of this church. You know, and we all have our part to play. We should all be encouraging one another. You know, but sometimes you think, well, you know, I can't encourage like the leaders. You know, the leaders in this church, they do a really good job of encouraging. I can't do that. Absolute rubbish. You know, we can all encourage one another. I was in Lidl the other day, and I was just doing some shopping. I was just sort of on the checkout, walking out, and there was these two pupils from Pembroke School. Hello, Martin. These are two little kids, and I was so encouraged that they recognised me. You know, words of encouragement. You know, and we all need it. We all need encouragement. Sometimes you think, you know, the leaders who are, you know, the real men and women of God, they don't need encouragement. We do. You'd be amazed. I'll be honest. You'd be amazed what an effort it is sometimes to come up here and think, have I got this right? Have I remembered everything? I've forgotten something. Now I can't remember where it is. But it's, we all need encouragement. And we can all give encouragement to build one another up, to strengthen one another. You know, if we want this church to be the church that God has called it to be, we need to be building one another up. You know, we all fail. And that's the time, you know, and when we fail, you know, that's the time when we look the stupidest and, oh, dearie me, I've done, But that's the time when we need the most encouragement and when it's hard to give because, you know, you're looking at that person, oh, no, they've done it again. Oh, dear, what are we going to do with them? But that's the time when they need the encouragement. You know, to encourage, to build one another up. You know, I've got to be honest, in this church, I've really thrived in this church. I've really flourished in this church. I've grown in this church because of the amazing encouragement. You know, it has been honest at times. I've got to be honest. I've been very honest at times. But because of the honest encouragement I've been given by Martin and Sarah, by Jen, by Liz, by many others who don't know they've encouraged me, but they have. You know, I've flourished and I've grown. And I want everybody to be able to be themselves like I feel, like I have the freedom to be. That we can encourage, you know, that we can build each other up. That we can strengthen one another when we're feeling down, when we're feeling good, whatever we're doing. I mean, we do it in love, that we make this effort to build one another up. Because sometimes, you know, when we come in, we don't feel like, you know, we just want, oh God, just speak to me today, please. But it's, Paul says, make every effort. When we're feeling pretty rubbish ourselves, I'll tell you one thing, when you're feeling pretty rubbish and you encourage somebody else, you actually encourage yourselves as well. You know, it's hard, but encourage one another. We all need it. You know, there's lots of people, I'll use a church in general, but I think it goes for this church as well. There's lots of people in church and in the world who don't know how capable they are. There's lots of people who don't know the calling that God has put on their lives. And I'll say I'm sure there's quite a few here who don't know what God has called them to do, who aren't sure of how good they are. Because they've not been told. Because they've not been encouraged. Because no one's gone and said, oh, you did amazing. And, oh, did I? I wasn't aware of that. You know, there's so many people out there who are missing out on what God has called them to be, on the life that God has got for them, because people haven't told them, because people haven't had the time or the effort to just go up, encourage them, and see them grow. See them grow into, you know, into a mighty man, a woman of God. And you look back and you think, oh, I helped and I encouraged that person. And you've seen them grow and flourish beyond whatever you ever dreamt they could be because of those words of encouragement that you give them. we need to be great encouragers. We need to be people who encourage one another. As I said, it's easy to tear down. Anybody could tear me down. You know, there's loads of things you could pick up. But as a church, I've never felt that. I've only felt encouragement. I've only felt people say, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you go for it. And I've been allowed to, you know, great. You know, God has done great things for me. I know that. But that's because of the encouragement I've been given. Because of the people behind me, pushing me, kicking me, doing whatever. It's because of those things. And if we want to be this imposing church in this area, this imposing church of light and of truth, we need to know how to encourage each other, first of all. So then we can go and encourage and build up other people. Now, to end with, I was going to give you some homework. I got it down here. I'm going to give you some homework. The homework was going to be this. I want you to look around, see someone you don't know, and think of something you can encourage them with next week. But I thought that might be a bit fake, a bit false. But I will ask of you this, that you do what Paul says, that you make every effort to encourage one another. And the growth of the church, of us as individuals, you know, will be amazing. And the growth of others as they come in, you know, as someone from outside who's had their life and everything else just kicked out of them, as they come into an atmosphere of encouragement, of love, and, you know, of the other things you've mentioned, forgiveness, of service, of teaching, if they come into this atmosphere, you know, it'd be just something transforming for them. So please, you know, do as Paul says, make every effort to encourage one another. I do want to finish off with a list. It's a list I found. Some of it I'm not too sure of, if I'm honest, but that's because some of it's not for me, it's for other people who've got different ways. But opportunities for encouragement and inspiration. And it's just ideas of how to encourage one another and what to do. I'm going to read through it, and I hope Jacob will follow me. And you can take a photo. Well, no. But Liz kindly said she'll put this on this week at the bridge, so you can all read it at your leisure then. So assume the people you interact with are struggling and approach them accordingly. Don't take people for granted. Challenge people of all ages, that means me as well, and the younger ones, to do more and do it better, and reassure them they can. Send uplifting notes, emails, cards, or letters to people. If you want to know how to do this properly, go and see Elaine. Praise the efforts of people who are trying hard, even if the results of their efforts fall short. Listen to people who need to talk, vent, or bounce ideas off of you. Tell someone's boss what a good job they're doing. Make a point of thanking people for what they do. Give people who are trying to make positive changes in their lives affirmation and reinforcement. Pray for people and let them know you're doing so. I think that's one of the biggest encouragements you can give anybody, is to say, I'm praying for you. You know, whatever, everything else, we're praying for you. Support people who recommend unpopular but necessary actions. Build people up who have been torn down by circumstances. Let people know you believe in them. Celebrate and congratulate the success of others. Take photos of special moments in the lives of others and send the photos to them with encouraging notes. Help people see how they can turn failures or mistakes into something positive by learning from them. When giving constructive criticism, begin with something good before getting into the areas that need improvement. I wondered about this one, because I like to finish on a positive note. But the problem is, if you start on a negative note, this is what I found to my cost, is that the people then shut off and they're not listening to the positive. All they hear is that you've told them they're rubbish at this. Okay? So start on the positive, and then on the positive if you can as well. Assure people who are grieving that they're not to blame, nor are they being singled out for punishment. Rather, Let them know that in a fallen world, bad things sometimes happen to good people. Let them know that God loves them, will never leave them, and will comfort them if they place their grief at his feet. Assure people who are disappointed that the end of the story has not yet been written. They are not disappointed now, but all other opportunities will arise if they remain faithful and keep their eye on the ball. Assure people who are insecure that they are more capable than they think they are. Let them know they can enhance their capabilities by enlisting God's help in all they do. Assure people who are experiencing fear with God that with God on their side, they have nothing to fear. Share Psalm 23. Assure people who have been betrayed that although people are going to let them down, God will never betray them. His promises were true in the past, they are now, and they will be in the future. Encourage them to put their faith in Jesus Christ, not people. Assure people who are struggling with unmet needs to be patient and wait on the Lord. Help them step back and count their blessings instead of focusing on what they want but don't have. And lastly, commit to setting a Christ-like example every day and in all situations. Let us therefore make every effort to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, and to edify. Amen. Thanks, Martin.